Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show
that
everybody
in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right. 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 All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Tuesday, number one edition of the program.
Number one.
Numero uno. He's Houston Kress.
Number one.
Feeling good?
Number one. Feeling like a number one.
King of the hill, top of the heap, cream of the crop.
Yeah.
I should have made a big list of those. That would have been a great way to intro the show.
Yeah.
It's all right. Not bad. Not bad. Not bad at all. 48 first place votes in the AP top 25. Duke and Virginia combined for 14. Michigan State got two.
Wow.
They're ranked sixth.
Wow. Wow.
That was even lower than I expected.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't even close. I thought it would be close.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't actually think in my head that Duke would get the first place spot.
I had no doubt about it.
I thought it'd be Tennessee, no but I thought it'd be close. I mean, it was 55 points difference if you're into that sort of thing.
You had 13 going into last week as far as first place votes.
Yeah.
You were only going to go up. And after that Syracuse loss, there was no way they were going to keep Duke up there.
Good points by you, Davey. You pay more attention to how that's structured, I guess.
Yeah. What?
Coaches poll, 30 first place votes for Tennessee, only two for Duke.
I'm not sure how that one's structured.
Well, the coaches vote in it.
Well, I know, but like all coaches.
Well, no,
32.
See? It's like, how do you get the 32? Like, who do you decide the 32 coaches? That's what I'm trying to get at.
I mean, I would guess it's a tenure thing. It's like a elder statesman type of deal. Some of the more established coaches, I would guess.
I guess they just, pick a sample from, I don't know.
I trust the coaches.
That's what I'm asking.
30 out of 32. That's pretty good.
I mean, they're coaches. I don't think it's like a bad thing. Even if they're not the elite of the elite, they're still basketball coaches, I would think. Right? They are at least basketball coaches.
I believe so, yes.
Eventually, not there will be dinosaurs. Coaches. On this dinosaur tour? Hello? 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 Dinosaurs? And now I'm sitting by myself, just talking to myself.
The top four are all the same. Tennessee, Duke, Virginia, and Gonzaga. And then Michigan State are 5 and 6 in the AP. And then flip-flop Michigan State, 5, Michigan 6 in the coaches poll. Nevada at 7 in both. Your other SEC teams, Kentucky at 8. These are all AP numbers. Kentucky at 8. Auburn at 16. Ole Miss at 20. And LSU at 25. There was one guy's poll. He had LSU like a whole lot higher.
You could make the argument.
Yeah.
They've had a good start to the season. I got no problems with people right now who are wanting to believe in LSU.
Yeah, they're 14-3. They're undefeated in the SEC so far.
Those jerks. It's fine.
Wait, what?
I mean, I wanted to be the only undefeated team in the SEC, but they're taking care of their business. Mm. Can't be too mad at them for it.
Well, Tennessee can take care of that ultimately at some point on the road in Baton Rouge. Yeah. Later in the season.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, I know.
I'm just saying I'd like to have a big cushion before that back half of the schedule kicks in case Tennessee were to drop one or something. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Well, did we shed the people that didn't want the number one ranking? Did they come around?
Yeah, like, man. I didn't see them. They're gone.
I didn't see them once. I saw people complaining on Twitter before Tennessee was number one, but once they were, it's like they disappeared. It's like they realized that, oh, well, no, this is a good thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a good thing. I love that you swept the AP and the coaches poll. This makes it just feel
real,
more secure, more real.
Not like that weird Duke-Virginia game where like they were one was number one in one poll and one was number one in the other poll, but the numbers on the scoreboard were 1-4.
That was weird to me.
Yeah.
It was weird that like Virginia was ahead of us in one poll and not in the other. Like there was a lot of confusion. But luckily, everything this week shifted, fell into place. Virginia goes down, Duke goes down, Michigan goes down, and as you mentioned, Michigan State did beat Maryland last night at home. No, Maryland, whatever. This ain't your Papaw's Maryland team, okay? Maryland's not very good this year. They're just not. It is what it is. But Michigan State,
they're 13.
Yeah, I was about to say
they're good.
I'm just saying they're not like Juan Dixon Maryland. They're not Stevie Franchise Maryland.
All right, decent recover.
They're not. What was that one? DeJuan Wagner? Did he play there?
It's not ringing a bell.
They had another guy. They had Dixon. Who's the other guy? I can't remember. But anyway,
we can get into it a little later, but Joe Lenardi's latest bracketology is also out.
Oh, baby. Save that. Don't mention it.
I'll be honest, I watched that game last night. I did not realize Maryland was 13.
Yeah, I can tell.
I watched like the whole game. I'm not even kidding. I guess in my head, I was just like, oh, Maryland, they stink. They didn't look that good. They've got a couple of big guys, but they did not look that good.
It's weird. I just kind of forget about them since they left the ACC.
That's got to be what it is. True. They lost all their power because they don't play Duke all the time now.
Mm.
Oh, man, I'll never forget that 10-point comeback Duke had at Maryland all those years ago. Whew. Jay Williams. He was Jason then. That's how long ago it was.
That's true.
He went by Jason.
You forgot Joe Smith? Steve Francis?
I said Stevie Franchise.
Oh, you did. You said Juan Dixon also. Lynn Bias? I'm going to go way back.
Okay, that's a little...
Ooh, that's
that's your
like,
great-grandpa's
I was about to say,
Maryland.
That's...
Lefty Drizel.
Is that early
coaching.
80s? Mid 80s?
That's got to be early. I don't remember. I don't remember those days. Yeah.
Gone too soon. Damn, cocaine gets everybody.
Lynn Elmore played for Maryland. All right.
Can we get
he's the announcer.
More recent names? You went old school.
At Diamond Stone. It was last
Diamond
year.
Stone?
Yeah.
What a name. Wow. Did not realize Maryland was 13. That's a good win for the Sparties. 14-point win at home. Bad first half for Maryland. Only got 20 points on the board. I was watching that game. They kept shooting threes and missing them. It's not a good game plan.
Lonnie Baxter? Anybody?
Okay.
98 to 2002?
Lonnie Baxter, yes.
All right.
This ain't Lonnie Baxter's Maryland Terrapin team.
I'm on their top 25 greatest players.
All-time players?
Yeah, you said Steve Blake, right?
I did not. Steve Blake. How could I forget Stevie Blake? Little Stevie Blake. Love Steve Blake.
That's what you said. I don't know. You said the other guy, Francis, and I, for some reason.
I said Stevie Franchise.
Okay.
That's what they called him.
In my head.
His nickname, if you were cool and on the street cred stuff.
I don't know why. In my head, but once you said Steve, I was.
Oh,
I gotcha. Just pictured Blake in my head.
Gotcha.
Keith Booth. Everybody remembers Keith Booth.
No.
93-97. That is a baller. Average 19.5 points a game.
I'll take your word for it.
Now, Grievous Vasquez.
There you go. Top 10. They're all time list.
All right. This ain't that team.
Joe Smith.
Is my point.
You said that one already.
Oh, shoot. It's Joe Smith. It's so plain.
Is that the guy from Bearden all those years ago? No. Who was that?
It's a different Joe. From Bearden. Joe Smith, pretty common name.
Pretty common name. There was a guy from Bearden all those years ago. He went to Maryland and played. He was like an All-American or something.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember his name. I don't remember this. Somebody will tweet that in. One of my old Bearden High School teachers will tweet me here in a minute. They're always good for that.
According to Bleacher Report, Lynn Bias, the best Maryland Terrapin of all time.
R.I.P.
Juan Dixon was number two.
Gone too soon. Juan Dixon, too? Mm-hmm. See, I remember Dixon.
Alex Lynn was like drafted in the top five a couple years
ago.
What
is this, the Maryland show? Tennessee's number one. Who cares? What the hell? I just mentioned it because Michigan State beat Maryland last night, and I was trying to downplay Michigan State, and I didn't realize that this year's Maryland team was ranked 13th in the country. But it's such a drop-off after, like, the top four.
Michigan State got two first-place votes and finished sixth in the poll. How does that happen?
Well, I was mad because about 11 o'clock, I started searching, like, here's my AP poll on Twitter because guys will just tweet it.
Uh-huh.
And the first two I read had Michigan State at one, and so I was like, oh, no. People are going to jump Michigan State. I guess those were the two. Those were the two AP guys. I just happened to get them first. It was like the East Lansing Journal and something else, like the Michigan Carrier. And I was like, ah, these Michigan jerks.
I think one of them was Graham Couch.
It was Graham Couch.
Who had
Tennessee 2.
But before we played a road game, he didn't have us in the top 25.
Oh, was that that
That's
guy?
That's guy.
That guy.
Yeah.
Of course he'd have Michigan State number one. So does he not realize they lost to Louisville? They lost to Kansas and Louisville. How in the world?
I forgot they lost to Louisville.
Can you?
Even though I made that point 2 weeks ago, I had forgotten it. I thought, oh, yeah, well, I could see it because we each have one loss and it's to the same team on a neutral floor. No, they lost to Louisville.
Yeah.
We beat Louisville.
Exactly.
Louisville won that game by what?
Against Michigan State.
Was it 10 or was it close?
It was four.
Did they get the full net point?
Yeah. No.
Dang.
Four.
Dang. Well, we got the net.
It was at Louisville also.
I know.
Still, though.
We got the net points against Louisville, though. We beat them by 11 or 12.
Net pointage.
Take that, Sparty. This is it's the revenge tour anyway. 2019 revenge tour.
All right.
Take that, Michigan State. Take that, Michigan. I'm Frankie McDonald. There's a big orange storm coming. Going to bring.
It's a cold one, apparently.
Going to bring three cut down nets. Two huge trophies. A lot of postseason wins in the tournament. Number one. That just feels good.
Number one, yep.
It brought back memories of college when we beat Memphis and I drank an IPA for the first time. It was all I had. And I wanted to celebrate. Boy, I hated that night. And now I like IPA. But at the time, I got it as a gift. So I had to drink it because it was all I had. What year was that? How old was I? Was I allowed to have beer? Mom, if you're listening, I'm very sorry.
Well, 10 years ago, you would have been. Do you want me to say?
No, I was legal. I was legal.
Yeah.
I could have left and bought beer. I probably should have done that.
You're older than
30. I didn't know what
you're
I liked.
You're older than 31.
I didn't know what I liked.
Now people know.
I didn't know what I liked. So I had this. Ugh. I don't want to say what it was because I like it now. But that was great. They painted the rock the next day. I'm sure the rock today will be painted, or if it's not already, might have been painted yesterday. That was a fun time. That was a little bit more exciting because it was one versus two, and you knew the winner was obviously going to be number one. You kind of knew what you were playing for. Maybe it kind of felt that way after Michigan lost, that you thought, yeah, we can jump up there regardless of what happens in the Virginia-Duke game. Then Duke takes care of business. Still feels good. It feels good because it validates, I guess, what we've kind of been saying all year about how good this basketball team can be.
Right.
Not only that they keep winning, which is helpful and nice, but the way the votes were, I mean, it was pretty one-sided. I mean, those are people now who have hopefully watched Tennessee, they've watched Michigan, they've watched Michigan State, Virginia, Duke, Gonzaga, Kansas, and right now, after watching all that, and I realize it's wins and losses that play, you know, and the time of those wins and losses that play the biggest part in the top 25. But it's nice to see the votes be so in favor of Tennessee as far as the first place votes.
Yeah, there's not much controversy surrounding it.
Yeah, it's not like you beat Duke by one and the second place votes are what decided it. People think Tennessee, with their first place vote, is the best team in the country. That feels really good.
For me, and a lot of people have kind of been going at this, but just going back to it, I thought the Rick Barnes hire when it first happened was a very good hire. But now you're just actually able to see that is paying dividends, and I want to say the statistic was of all the teams in the top 10, not one of them had a player or all of them had a player in the top 100 as far as a recruiting class except Tennessee.
Wow.
So it just goes to show that you actually have a guy on staff who's able to develop the talent, and we harp on this all the time, but to just see how this team is molded together and just built year after year to where you're now the number one team in the country. Like, not many other teams throughout the history of college basketball, I think, are able to say, yeah, we didn't have very, very good recruits, at least as far as how they were perceived coming into college, and now you sit atop all the other schools in the country. That's incredible, and that's
yeah.
The thing
I would
that
love
I'm
to see. I would love to see a breakdown of like past NCAA champions, and I mean, if Tennessee were to win the national championship, would they be the most unlikely champion based on recruiting rankings and talent since, I don't know? I would love to see kind of where Tennessee falls all time. And that is, I mean, to your point, like, that's a credit to Rick Barnes. I mean, that's going out when, and you know, I said this at the time, and I don't think people really understood it. Like, when Rick Barnes got here and everybody wanted, you know, the five-star All-Americans, they wanted us to do what he was doing at Texas. Like, Tennessee was not pretty when Rick Barnes got here. It was just not. I get it. We're in the Knoxville bubble. Our bleep don't stink. I'm fine with that. But you had just had the Konzo Martin situation, which, fair or unfair, was painted in a way that made everybody in Knoxville a racist in a lot of ways. You had every national sports writer who covers basketball taking pot shots at Tennessee for a long time. Pat Forty, Seth Davis, Dana O'Neill, Myron Medcalf, the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. It said, oh my gosh, these fans ran off a coach who was in the Sweet 16. No, that's not really what happened. They were struggling in the season. Bruce Pearl's show cause was up. The petition, in fairness, wasn't to fire Konzo. It was to get back Bruce. And the way the season was going, it looked like you were probably going to be looking for a new coach at the end of the year. And then, maybe it was coincidence, maybe not, but the petition gets fired up. The team catches a hot streak. They get into the play-in game, beat Iowa, beat Mercer, avoid Duke, by the way. And then someone else, obviously, that they beat in there that I can't recall. There's one more. I mean, it wasn't the craziest path to a Sweet 16. Now, granted, they probably should have beat Michigan, but who was the third game? Wasn't it Iowa,
Mercer?
Who was three? Anyway. That happens. Konzo leaves, and everyone treats it as Konzo Martin fired Tennessee, basically. Then you go get Donnie Tindall, who I think is a good coach, as long as he doesn't have to do anything outside of basketball. And unfortunately, his history is everything outside of basketball. So then you got to fire him in disgrace. I mean, the program right there is on, I don't want to say life support, but it's not good. You've got NCAA sniffing around. You've got the Konzo Martin stuff still lingering, and you're able to go get Rick Barnes, even if it wasn't a great hire. I liked it at the time because I thought recruiting. But Rick Barnes, I think he probably couldn't. I don't know if any coach could have come in and just been like, snap your fingers, we're cheating and getting five stars. The brand was tarnished. Tennessee basketball was hurting when Rick Barnes got here. And so he went out, and he kept a couple players that were committed to Tindall. He went out and got some other guys. Some of those guys didn't pan out. Ray Kasongo didn't pan out. Kyle Alexander did pan out. And then you go steal Grant from, I don't know, Harvard or Yale or whatever it was, and you saw some building blocks in the first year, right? Admiral had a couple games in his first year that were sensational. And then all of a sudden, year two, he takes a step back. But here comes Grant, a little further to the front. Last year, sensational, and now this year, you're really, I mean, the development. Like, how much better is everybody on this team from the moment they stepped on campus? Like, go watch Kentucky play. Like, beginning of the year to the end of the year, those guys, they're just good. They just learn how to play together. I don't know that they get better. Go look at Admiral as a player and look at him now. Grant, especially Kyle, Bone, Bowden, Turner, guys that when you got them to commit, you're like, oh. when Jordan Bowden committed, people were like, "Oh, a Knoxville guy." Well, that's nice that we're taking. That's nice that we're taking a Knoxville guy. Mm-hmm. And now he's like going to be sixth man of the year in the country. That's development. That's coaching. That's incredible.
It was Iowa. Then you played UMass in the round of 64.
UMass.
And then
that's
Mercer in the round of 32.
That makes
go
sense.
To the Sweet 16
right.
where you played Michigan.
Right. Mercer was the final one because somehow Duke lost to Mercer. Whew. Never understand how that happened. Kind of opened the door there for the Sweet 16, didn't it? Still should have beat Michigan. I still blame Michigan for that. Cheaters. Hate Michigan.
Well, and you know, I mean, there was a reason to kind of point to recruiting and say, hey, I wish recruiting was better. But
sure.
once the players that come in are developed into a good enough basketball team to be number one in the country, you just have to tip your cap and say, okay, doing it this way worked. And I'm no matter what you thought about recruiting at any point during the Rick Barnes tenure here, at this point, you just have to eat crow and say. I mean, like if Jeremy Pruitt signed all three stars in this year's football class, people would freak out.
Yeah.
But if in four years, or even 5 years, even if it took a while, right? Even if it took 4 or 5, like their entire like you had a bunch of red shirt seniors. Even if it took 5 years, and he was able to stay the course and just show enough improvement to keep the job. And 5 years from now, you're number one in the country.
Yeah.
Halfway through a season where, and you know, basketball's weird, but in a season where you've already shown that you're right there, that you're at least the best team in the SEC. I mean, imagine if you were, you know, the Alabama, the FCC, halfway through the season with all those three-star guys playing better than anyone in the country, you'd have to just say, okay, it worked. That's fine. That's good. And obviously now, Rick Barnes is reeling in those types of players that.
Yeah,
that people wanted sooner.
I think he's just done it the right way. You prove you can coach first, prove you can develop first, and then it should be a much easier sell, right? Like now you can go get a guy like Josiah James who didn't want bags of money. You know what I mean? He wanted a college experience. He wanted to go somewhere where he could learn. He wanted to go somewhere where he loved his teammates, where he felt like he could have fun. And also be coached really, really hard to get to the next level. And everyone thought he was going to go to Clemson. And he chose Tennessee because he's like, man, because Rick Barnes, he's legit. The team has fun with each other. They love each other. I enjoy my time there. And also, just look at the players. Like, look at how much they develop under Rick Barnes. And if you're a guy with James's skill set, honing in on those skills is what's going to get you paid a lot of money at the next level. So now I think it's momentum. Now it's like now there's proof, right? Now you have hard data where you can just say, hey, this works, and we haven't even had good players yet. If we had someone like you, yeah, we just keep it rolling. And then Josiah James signs up. Burns says, yeah, I'll come be a big man for you. Yeah, I'll redshirt. I'll reclassify in redshirt so that I can be a big man for you when you lose, you know, one or both of your big men.
On the Burns comment, people were saying that, well, DJ Burns was a top 100 recruit. Well, he was for next year's class, but since he reclassified, that bumped him to 107 in the rankings.
Right. Well, and he's not playing anyway, so
yeah.
It's not like...
Well, it was just to make Davey's stat that he threw out correct.
Well, I'm just saying, but he's not playing.
Right.
I thought the stat was good anyway. That's all.
Three and Out's driven by Toyota Knoxville, I-40, the Lovell Road exit right there on Parkside Drive. Shop online at toyotaknoxville.com. You can even ask questions right there from the website on all their brand-new Toyotas and pre-owned vehicles as well. Massive selection at Toyota Knoxville. So head online to toyotaknoxville.com. And then when you're ready to test drive I-40, the Lovell Road exit right there on Parkside Drive, it's Toyota Knoxville, Knoxville's Toyota dealer. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville.
Loved Coolio. Big, big Coolio guy back in the day.
Yeah?
Oh, my God. With his little hair? Oh, man. Wow. Wow.
Well, I mean, this basketball team is, I mean, they are just straight thug gangsters. I mean, they're so...
Love to fight all the time.
So, yeah, controversial.
Yeah, Davey was like, this song reminds me of this basketball team. I was like, what?
No. Not this team. Where we're at as a program. We're at the top. We're living the gangster's paradise.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. I, I thought it was
no the team. No,
so you don't have to be
irony.
A gangster to be in Gangster's Paradise.
Yeah,
yeah,
gotcha.
I thought it was just straight irony. I thought this was just.
Now we're closer to Amish Paradise than we are Gangster's Paradise when we're looking at the team itself.
How refreshing to pull for a team that's just such good people.
That's why we.
I mean, like, a lot of times you just don't know.
Like, even the Lady Vol fans, like the diehards who hate men's basketball are like, man, that team's pretty, they're kind of nice and they're fun. I think I'm going to root for the men now, which is rare.
Is that a big thing? You mentioned that this morning. Like, do Lady Vol fans hate when the men are good?
Some.
Do the men's fans hate when the ladies are good?
No.
It's not the same.
No one hates it when the Lady Vols are good.
I didn't think so.
But yeah, man, like, there's a group of supporters of women's athletics, I think, that are a little, you know, they don't like football or men's basketball. They don't, you know, they don't like it. They think it's too, you know, big, too much money, too much attitude, greed,
gotcha.
Cheating, all that kind of thing.
But it's different.
Which is
this
like under Pearl, saying. And then, you know, you kind of understand it. Like that, some of those Pearl teams, hey, they were fun to watch. They were good. That's not exactly a bunch of guys that you're going to want to, like, you know, maybe bring your kids around. I mean, we had like three guys get kicked off for having guns and drugs in the car. Like, I'm just saying, like, this team, they play Settlers of Catan. They dance in the locker room. They play practical jokes on each other. They're intelligent, articulate, talented off the court. I mean, the video that Kyle did last year for the NCAA, the video that Admiral did for the football game against Florida this year. Again, like, we stole Grant from Harvard. It's just a different team.
Yeah.
They're built different. They weren't, you know, they're not mercenary recruits that just came in because of, you know, whatever. Like, you got them the right way. You've trained them. You've developed them. And now you've got the number one basketball team in the country. You've got a bench that goes at least 7 deep, and on some nights, maybe 9 or 10. They root for each other. They cheer for each other. They coach each other. They don't have issues. Unless you're Penny Hardaway and you see stuff that doesn't exist, they help the other team up off the floor. The only thing they do is pop their jerseys and talk a little smack to opposing fan bases when they run their mouths during the game. That's it. They do a gator chomp and they pop the jersey to Memphis fans when they're cussing at the kids on the bench. That's it. It's the only thing they do wrong. And I don't even think that's wrong. That's just what people, you know, that's the lens people want to view that through. Oh, they're look how cocky they are. Look how brash. How rude. All right, get out of here.
There's lots of teams that are kind of lovable and then become good because they pull off some big upsets. It's hard to have a team that's like a bunch of nice guys that are lovable that are number one in the country because they're just better than everyone else. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to have a team that kind of starts the year and wins all the games against the teams that they're better than, wins the coin flip games, and then rises up and wins like 2 out of 3 games that they shouldn't, and it's like, oh wow, this team is, you know, 12th in the country, for example, and really, you know, was picked to be 30th type of thing. But this team, they dominated the teams that not only they're better than, but dominated some of the teams that the games generally are in that kind of coin flip range, you know, plus or minus 10.
Yeah.
And that you asked a question earlier. You said, like,
and not to mention they're exciting. Like, we talked about that this year. They're going to win games like 70-55. Not this year. They're averaging, you know, in the 80s. They're holding teams in the 60s. So not only are they doing all those other things the right way, but maybe you sacrifice being the exciting high flying team. Like, this team can high fly. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can run the floor. They can backdoor alley-oop in the half court. They can alley-oop, obviously, in transition. They've got guys who can absolutely soar. I mean, they're Showtime without, you know, the five-star elite name brand stuff. Although I do think they're starting to develop and make names for themselves all over the place. Started that last year, but, I mean, when you've got two guys up for the Wooden Award, you've got probably the leading candidate for Sixth Man of the Year in the NCAA, certainly in the SEC. And then you have last year's Sixth Man of the Year in the SEC, who's now your seventh man. Like, people know who this team is now. It's just been so fun to watch them and how hard they've worked to achieve it. Now, obviously, this isn't what they wanted to achieve. They want this ranking at the end of the final game in Minneapolis. But it's nice to have a little recognition along the way.
And Rick Barnes basically said that. He wants to, you know, you want to be number one
at the
end.
And I think they do, too. I think they do, too. But it still feels nice.
But,
it feels nice.
But, you know, there's a certain level of exposure being the number one team in the country that's just good for your program along the way. You asked the question, you know, would this be kind of the lowest rank?
You went back and looked, huh?
It seems crazy to talk about winning the national championship, but at any point during the season, if you have to pick a team to talk about winning the national championship, it would be the number one team in the country. So that's how we got to this conversation. Let's not go crazy and think that we're predicting a national championship. But if you're picking who's going to win the national championship,
or are we?
Wouldn't the team that's at number one be the first team that you would kind of profile as a contender? And right now, that's Tennessee. And Houston's question was, if this team won the national championship, wouldn't they be one of the lowest rated player listings as their roster coming out of high school into college? Like, would this be the lowest ranked recruiting team ever to win the tournament? It obviously wouldn't be the biggest underdog. I mean, underdogs have won the tournament before, and I don't expect Tennessee to be an 8 seed when they go into the big dance at the end of the season. But that's not the question we're asking. What we're saying is, coming out of high school, this group of players may be the lowest ranked team to ever win the whole thing if they were able to achieve that. And you look at the list, I mean, here's some problems. First of all, the one and done era is relatively new, and that's kind of changed everything. Second of all, when I see these blue blood teams that have won national championships, especially ones that aren't very recently, I can't remember how good their players were out of high school. I mean, sometimes you don't even remember which players were on their team in college. But even if you could, you can't remember how good they were in high school. I mean, that's really tough. But if you just go back through the teams, it doesn't seem like any of these teams would have had a lower recruiting profile than Tennessee has had as they assembled this roster. I mean, I was trying to even think of teams that might profile. I mean, here are your national championships recently. Villanova, North Carolina, Villanova, Duke, Connecticut, Louisville, Kentucky, Connecticut, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, the two with Billy Donovan at Florida, North Carolina, Connecticut, Syracuse. That was like, was that Carmelo?
Yeah, that was his only year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like one player that comes out like that just ruins the whole argument. So, I mean, it's easy to just go through these.
Oh, you had Carmelo Anthony? Next.
He got traded yesterday.
He's old, man.
Maryland.
Hell of a run for Carmelo.
Maryland, we're back to the Terps, 2002.
But they were good.
St. Gary Williams, Maryland.
This ain't your daddy's Maryland team here.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe if somebody's a fan of one of those teams and followed them really closely, they could say, hey, I just have a hard time believing any of those teams that are perennial basketball powers.
Like Villanova last year? I mean, a lot of those guys were 4 and 5 stars, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've still been recruiting. Well, the team of all those that you mentioned, Nate, that strike me the most as far as those that won the national championship would be Connecticut in 2014. And that was Kevin Ollie's first year.
Yeah. But didn't they have
still,
Kemba?
Calhoun still was able to recruit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You had Kemba.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm just saying, like, when you're comparing all those teams together, like, that's still like the lowest of all those teams. And those were some incredible teams.
Yeah. And they had Kemba Walker, who was elite.
I mean,
An elite out of high school.
1994 Arkansas, like I got that far back. It's like Arkansas, you know, and then I looked at their season. I mean, they started the year in the top five. So, I don't know, like maybe those players weren't as highly touted coming out of high school, but by the time they started that basketball season, like everybody knew that team was going to be.
Kemba Walker was the 14th best player in the country coming out of high school.
And that's the other thing. Once you get back past a certain point, there are no recruiting stats, you know, like I can't look
mentioned
up
this
Jimmy
one.
V's team.
Well, that's what I just got a text from a buddy and said, Jimmy V, NC State. I don't know, man. I don't think they had the internet back then. hard to find the recruiting rankings. I have to have someone scan in those old recruiting magazines from back in the
profiles
day.
Or something. I don't know how good.
Oh, my bad.
Kim was on 2011.
My
right?
bad. Shabazz Napier, what was he ranked coming out of high school? Good point by Dyron Birdwell, and Davey was obviously looking it up. In my head, that was the Kemba team. My bad. What was Napier?
This roster, I mean, they might have been recruited, but none of these players on that team strike me as anyone that ended up doing anything after college for the 14 Connecticut team. That's the lowest of all those teams we've talked about, but for sure.
Napier was a top 100 player. He was 98.
But didn't he graduate the year before?
I don't know. Dyren just tweeted. I'm not looking at the Connecticut roster. I was just trying to think of who they had. Was Napier not on that team? We really are spending too much time on this Connecticut thing.
We need to take a break.
The point is that this Tennessee team is not built like the Dukes, Villanovas, Michigan States, Kansas's, Memphis, when they played for it and almost won it. Not built like those teams, and yet they're number one in the country and have, there were some odds released yesterday from Odd Shark. We can talk about those on the other side. Tennessee right there at the top, though, as far as odds.
Napier was a player on that team. He was on both.
Yep. Top 100 player.
There you go. We'll come back. Final segment. Hour number one, next. Final segment, hour number one
this
of the
program. This is the top-ranked chair in the country. You better treat it nice. This is a Cadillac.
Quit getting you nice things.
I love how I'm the one being blamed for breaking that damn chair.
I didn't blame you. I mean,
you just said treat it nice as if I didn't treat it nice.
No, that's going to be the message for everyone.
It should be.
In these new chairs.
It should be. I feel like I was the...
It's the station-wide email already in the drafts, just ready to hit send here in a second.
It should be. I feel like I have to send that about every 4 months.
I was the last straw, and I'm getting blamed for all the destruction.
I'm pretty impressed after seeing the bottom of the chair that snapped in half the other night as Grant Williams got called for the offensive foul. I'm pretty impressed that it lasted that long, actually. The metal was all, like, bent up and mangled underneath there. You were like, maybe you can just fix this.
It had to have been already broken because there was no snap, there was no creaking. Mm. I just leaned back, and don't get me wrong. The charge call, I kind of did the
yeah,
but not like jumped back in the chair, and it just kept going.
And then I'm taking the charge,
and then I was trying to sell it. I was flopping.
Damn it!
But it was a good move by me, because now look at me riding high in the Cadillac. Of chairs. It's a lazy boy.
It's nice.
It's bad, no expense. Championship odds are out.
Oh, baby.
Well, updated championship odds. They've been out for a while. Now they're updated. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Who do you think has the best odds in the country?
Duke.
Yeah.
Duke? That's just because dumb people think they're the most likely team to win the championship. You got to remember that.
Well, I think a lot of it is just...
Davey, I don't need your reason.
Hold
right
on,
now.
I'm going to explain. No, it's because most people don't pay that much attention, and then you see the Champions Classic where they beat Kentucky by almost 40, and that just kind of stays in people's minds.
But then you would want better odds or worse odds if you're Vegas, so people would throw more money on it, if you're trying to make money. This tells me that I think they probably believe Duke to be the best team.
Yeah, they probably
do.
What's Duke's number?
Plus 170. Pretty good. The next highest is Michigan at plus 800. So in case you were wondering what the gap looked like there, plus 170 for Duke, best odds in the country. Second best odds, Michigan, plus 800. Then there's a little bit of a log jam here. Tennessee and Virginia at plus 900. Gonzaga, plus 950. Then another big gap. Kansas plus 1,300, Michigan State plus 1,500, Nevada plus 1,800, Kentucky 2,200, and Virginia Tech, the 10th ranked team in the country, is plus 5,000.
They got beat by 21 to North Carolina last night.
Yeah, that's bad.
Virginia Tech's on a little bit of a skid, safe to say. Safe to say Virginia Tech skidding out of control after that loss to Virginia. Not good.
So where does Tennessee rank in terms of just straight odds?
They are tied for third.
Tied for third.
Duke, Michigan, and then Virginia and Tennessee tied at plus 900 per Odd Shark.
I don't get the Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably would at least put Michigan tied with Tennessee and Virginia. I probably would put them behind. But that, I don't know. Maybe there's just a lot of people that vote Michigan. A
lot of Michigan fans trying to talk themselves into this team.
Maybe that's
a lot of them.
The Gonzaga. bet's not bad. I mean, they'll be healthy.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'd say, I mean, Gonzaga, Tennessee, and Virginia are probably your best bets. Michigan State at 1,500 is not bad. Nevada at 1,800, just burn your money. Kentucky at 2,200, not bad. Kansas is sliding. They're going the wrong way. I'm not touching Kansas. Sorry. No offense to Kansas. If you win it, you've earned it. But I'm not touching Kansas. But Tennessee, again, tied for third best odds in the country to win the national championship. The reason I think that's significant is I think that also proves, hey, you didn't just get handed this ranking because everyone else lost and you're really not that good. You're just kind of the last team standing. I mean, the odds suggest this is a national championship caliber team. Now, obviously, these odds are going to be based off a lot of different things. Talent probably being numero uno. Duke, bunch of talent, and they have Mike Krzyzewski. They've been there before. I have no problem with Duke having the best odds. You're right there in the mix or ahead of everybody else. At this point in the season, I totally get it. Of course, Duke's going to be the front runner. As Davey mentioned, they blasted Kentucky. They have Zion. They've got the wow factor. They've got the highlights. But Tennessee, as far as kind of everybody else, right there at the top. Feels good. With Michigan, who I just don't buy it. I don't buy the Michigan stuff. Sorry.
It was
maybe I'm a hater.
It was probably good last night that Kansas was able to beat Iowa State. It's an Iowa State team that's now in the top 25. Kansas got the win 82-76. You know, Ozebuki's out for Kansas the rest of the way. I think it's still, and I do think a selection committee at the end of the year would kind of factor that in. But I think
you'd have to.
For perception, though, you kind of want Kansas to do well since that's one blemish right now.
Yeah, and Gonzaga, for that matter. I mean, everybody that you've already played, you would like to see them have as much success as possible to boost your resume.
So far, so good.
West Virginia beating Kansas, if you beat West Virginia, that's kind of a wash, so that doesn't really matter. So I'll take it, yeah.
West Virginia lost last night to Baylor, so.
What?
Yeah.
They're going to get an extra day of rest? I don't like that.
No.
I don't like that at
I think
all.
It's, I think it's better that just they lost so they're not going
to
come
riding
on
a streak.
On a hot streak. That's fair. Yeah. And hopefully away from home, they won't be able to play as well as they did against Kansas over the weekend. We'll come back. We'll update you on Joe Lenardi's latest bracketology kickoff, hour number two, and get to the phone lines as well. Stick with us. If you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200. We kick off hour two next.